Final case this morning is Maldonado versus Maldonado.
Good morning. I'd like to reserve 2 minutes, please. May I please the court? My name is Mark Ferraz. I'm appearing on behalf of appellant Jose Maldonado. We ask this court to protect children and prevent future harm to them as the Domestic Violence Prevention Act intends and requires in protection order proceedings. When courts fail to enter protections, children are put at risk of harm. The DVPA explicitly prohibits judges from delaying or denying relief if that relief is available or may be available in another proceeding. This also includes when there is a protection order put in place which may interfere with the pre-existing parenting plan. Once domestic violence is found, the DVPA requires that a full order for 1 year be entered. The DVPA was specifically designed to do this because of the impact that domestic violence has on children and families. In order to ensure these immediate protections, judges must fully adjudicate the petition before them without influence of inappropriate outside factors. Otherwise, courts may very well enable violence and not prevent it. Now, in this case, my client, Mr. Maldonado, he specifically requested under 2650.20.1a that the party's children be included. This is allowed under that part of the statute, which extends to the party's children, other family members, and other household members. There is no limiting language there or standard which suggests that proof of harm, that harm must be proven for those individuals to be included on an order. Now, our brief cited heavily to this court's decision in In Re Marriage of Stewart. In Stewart, this court indicated that inclusion of children in order may be appropriate because there is an understanding there might be psychological harm when children are exposed to violence. Stewart didn't set forth a legal standard. Stewart just gave a reason why children need to be included on an order. We know that when violence occurs, that psychological harm is one of the concerns. The other concern is simply being in a household, the child may later on also experience violence towards them. The entire intent of the Domestic Violence Prevention Act is to prevent violence. In this case, the court below said, well, we're not going to include the other two children because there's no physical harm. Well, that defeats the purpose of the act if the act is to prevent violence. If we know that children who are exposed to violence suffer psychological harm, that's one concern. If we know that
but
children...
You're kind of skittering around a lot of issues there. Could I just ask you to focus on one thing in particular? The petition that your client filed did make allegations of harm to all three children, physical harm, and also alleged that there was psychological harm. So my first question is this. It looks to me from the record that like what happened is that the commissioner read – I don't know what the commissioner was focusing on, but the commissioner said, it looks to me like I only have evidence about one child. Is that right? And Mr. Maldonado said yes. And that seems to be the basis for why the other two children were excluded. Do you agree that that's a fair reading, or what do you think happened?
I think that's a possibility. I think that the facts before the court are a little muddied. There was an allegation, as you indicated, that Mr. Maldonado alleged that the other children were also hit. The court didn't consider it. So the court, I think, just went with the proof that it had, the actual physical harm with respect to one child. But the point that I'm making is...
Did the court have some reason to think that that psychological harm wasn't good enough?
I'm not sure I followed the question.
Well, I mean, the petition, if you read the petition, it makes all the allegations that anybody, I would think, would consider to be necessary in such a petition.
Right.
So I'm just not sure. I mean, you're asking us to hold that the commissioner abused his discretion.
No, we're stating as a matter of law that when a request is made to include children in an order and the court makes a finding of domestic violence on the petition, that the court must include the other children.
All right.
That's what we're asking, and it's based on the fact
So my second question is, are you saying, and I don't think this is your position, but I want to make sure, that simply by coming in and alleging harm, that the court is obligated then, once it sees those allegations, to grant the order?
Are you talking about, well, the court made a finding of domestic violence. Are you speaking about
know,
the other children?
I know. The court did make a finding of domestic violence, but are you saying that even if the court had not made that finding, that nevertheless it would have been obligated to to grant the petition?
No. If the court does not find domestic violence by preponderance of the evidence, then the court does not have the ability to enter a protection order. Once the court makes that finding, then the court, pursuant to the statute, needs to determine what reliefs are appropriate. And that's under 2650.060, which is a section that has 13 specific reliefs. And recently, the Juarez case specifically stated that from Division III, basically stated when you make a finding of domestic violence, you're under protection order, it must be for 1 year. So that's the position that we're taking.
Hold on a second. That brings me up to another issue. You say that the Domestic Violence Act requires a petition to be 1 year in all cases.
The Juarez case specifically stated that the public policy in Washington State, for various reasons, is that a one-year order must be issued when a finding of domestic violence is made.
Okay, but Juarez, what it may or may not have said, is not, of course, the source of the authority. You're arguing, based on the language of the Domestic Violence Act, that whenever an order is issued under the Domestic Violence Protection Act, it must be for at least 1 year.
Right.
That is your position.
That is. I agree with Juarez. So what Juarez said is that it should be for 1 year. However, the courts have the discretion to enter an order of less than 1 year, provided that the court's basis is a allowed basis under the statute. What the court did here was it said,
what if somebody comes in and asks for an order of less than a year?
The court can enter that. But that's
what if somebody comes in and asks for an order of a year and the court says, well, for various reasons, not the ones in this case, okay, but for some other exercise of its discretion, they think that 6 months is long enough?
Provided that the court has a valid basis to do that, that would be allowed. That is not the...
So there's no presumption in the Act that it has to be 1 year. It can be 1 year, and the court may exercise its discretion.
Well, the statute actually has under 2650.85.3, in the section that talks about service by publication, actually does state
that's
1 year.
That's not the situation before us, though, right?
Correct.
Okay, so there's nowhere else in the Act does it say anything about it has to be 1 year.
Well, we know that social science research specifically says that 1 year should be the default because
social science research doesn't make the law.
Correct. Well,
okay, I'm looking for something in the statute, and I think you just agreed there isn't anything other than that one provision about the default and summons by publication. So you're wrong about that. I mean, that is just not a sustainable argument. There's nothing in the statute that says it must be 1 year.
Other than that section, I agree.
It's allowable to have 1 year, and a court may exercise its discretion to make it less than 1 year. In this case, you're arguing that the court abused that discretion because it did not follow the part of the statute that says you can't delay or deny based on the idea that there's some other relief available elsewhere.
I'm not arguing that there's abuse of discretion. That is explicitly not allowed, and that the court doesn't have discretion to consider that provision or any other proceeding.
But it isn't. We're examining the court's exercise of discretion. What you're arguing is that was not a tenable basis for the exercise of discretion. It's the same thing, but it's an abuse of discretion standard because in the next case there may be some other reason that a court comes up with for giving a 4-month or a 6-month or a 9-month order. And the question would be, for this court, did the court abuse its discretion? In other words, was there a tenable basis for less than 1 year? I just don't follow what you're saying when you say it's not an abuse of discretion standard.
Generally speaking, for denying the protection orders, I would agree. Abuse of discretion applies. I don't believe that when you base the denial of relief on something that the statute expressly prohibits, that's an abuse of discretion.
Well, there's case law that says an error of law constitutes an abuse of discretion when the abuse of discretion standard is applicable.
It's really a semantic distinction. I mean, your argument is, I understand your argument, that it's based on the statute and based on Juarez, is that you cannot say, well, I'm not going to give you the full year that you've requested because you can go over to family court or 2609 and take care of it quicker.
Correct.
That's your argument.
Yes.
Good morning. Mikhail Seguin, attorney for respondent Naomi Maldonado. And this is not a situation like Stewart where we had an extended history of domestic violence. This was an isolated incident where a mother utilized physical discipline and may have done so with unreasonable force. The court provided a 4-month domestic violence protection order and a requirement that the mother participate in parenting classes. One motion that was made by the respondent, which the court should decide today or noted it would decide today, is whether the subsequent denial of the renewal of the DVPO would be admissible, and also whether the pending petition for modification of the parenting plan would be allowed to be supplemented to the record as well today. The reason that that's relevant is that the subsequent denial of the renewal and the pending modification could ultimately just lead this to a point of being moot.
Well, there's the issue of the other children. One of the concerns would be that the petition was recognized as establishing an act of domestic violence that left bruising on one child. There were allegations of striking of the other children. The court doesn't appear to have said that was corporal punishment that did not rise to the level of domestic violence. There's no finding. Instead, it looks as if the court said, there are no allegations about the other children in front of me. And secondly, the father seems alleged in the petition that the children were all afraid of their mother based on the violence they had witnessed, and yet the court does not appear to have given that allegation credence and determined that, yes, they are in fear, no, they're not in fear, because Stewart recognizes if there's adequate evidence that the children have been placed in fear because of domestic violence, that's a basis for an order for them. So shouldn't we be troubled that the court appears not to have considered the evidence and made a decision based on the evidence as to the other two children?
I believe the court did consider that, and I believe that the court's decision was based on there being insufficient evidence to support a finding to include the other children.
What part of the record is your characterization rooted in?
It was the part of the record that the court already noted earlier, in which Commissioner Hillman stated, we're just talking about the two children, the one child.
Well, how do we know it was going through the commissioner's mind there? I mean, I don't see any evidence in that record that the commissioner read the petition and read those allegations or dealt with them in any way.
I believe the testimony of the parties at the DVPO hearing included testimony from the father that also made those allegations regarding the other two children. And, of course, it also considered the mother's testimony regarding her admission of using corporal punishment or physical discipline upon the one child. The mother denies that the bruise came from the physical discipline, as the mother had used a belt one time to strike the child at issue here, and the bruising was on the child's arm. The mother says she does not know where that bruise came from. The court did listen to the testimony of both parties, and that included the allegations from the father that the other two were either in fear or had also been victims of domestic violence. And that, having considered all of that testimony, the court ultimately did not include, the commissioner did not include the other two children in that order. The assumption is that that was based upon there not being sufficient evidence to support a finding of domestic violence and the inclusion of those other two children.
So you disagree then with the argument that counsel just made, is that when the court makes a finding that domestic violence has occurred in the home, that then is a proper basis for protecting the other children in the home as well?
I think it can be, and I think that Stewart is instructive on that. And in Stewart, it was very clear that there was psychological harm and a potential for future psychological harm upon the children, even though they were not the victims of the domestic violence in that case. Again, this was an isolated incident. There's several facts that distinguish Stewart from this matter. For one, the discipline took place outside of the viewing of the other two children. It was not within their view. In Stewart, the children were not only witnesses to extensive domestic violence, but they were also called 911, and they were actually engaged in the conflict between the parents. So I do agree with counsel in that there are certain circumstances, as dictated in Stewart, where the psychological harm and potential psychological harm would result in the children needing to be included in that order. It is significant that the appellant is requesting a departure from the plain language, and I think this has been pretty clearly discussed already. The plain language of the statute does not include a presumptive year.
Well, since we've already discussed that, let's go on to probably the more pressing issue, mm-hmm. which is the Juarez holding and the statutory provision that you don't delay or deny relief on the basis that the parties can go someplace else, specifically in this court, family court. Isn't it fair to say that the commissioner here did exactly the same thing that the Juarez court held was wrong to do?
So Juarez, the finding and the holding in Juarez was that couldn't be the basis of a denial of a protection or the basis of limiting a protection order because there being other relief. Here, that's not what the court did. The court
wrote in subject to going over to family court or something along those lines. Isn't that so?
The court said subject to any subsequent modification, yes. And I think what that would mean is that the protection order, and again, we're dealing with two courts here. We're dealing with King County Court, where the DVPO is, and then Snohomish Court, where the modification is pending. I believe that's probably clear communication to the Snohomish court that the other two children are not included in this order, but of course it's subject to anything that would happen then in the Snohomish County Superior Court.
Right, but I mean, isn't the concern as articulated in Juarez is that the father here, Mr. Maldonado, has obtained a protection order. He's asked for it to be for a year, okay, but it's only 6 months on the theory that I guess that somebody is going to go to Snohomish County and do something to get this taken care of by the in the Snohomish County proceeding. Doesn't that seem to be the idea? The thing is that what I think Juarez articulates, which is a genuine concern, is that that kind of puts the onus on Mr. Maldonado if he wants to get protection for the children, because your client doesn't think that they need protection. So she's not going to be the one that goes to Snohomish County and says, let's gear up and get things going so that these children can be protected. And so as Juarez explains, Mr. Maldonado or someone in his position generally, why should they have to go to many courts or more than one? Why cannot they just get that protection, you know, in the first instance? They may not have the time, they may not have the money, they may not have the ability to go to Snohomish County. Whatever it is, they don't have the ability to do, or it may be that for some reason that court just isn't ready to gear up that quickly. Isn't that a valid point in Juarez?
That is a valid point in Juarez. And had the commissioner in this case denied or limited the protection based upon that, that would be exactly what Juarez was warning against. However, in this case, that's not what the commissioner stated. The commissioner entered a short-term order and required the mother to do parenting classes within that time. The note for a possible modification in Snohomish County Court was not a justification for the short or less than a year order, I should say. It was an additional instruction to Mr. Maldonado if he wanted to seek protection for the other children. But
isn't that just exactly what the Juarez case says? The court shouldn't be doing. The court shouldn't be saying, Mr. Maldonado, if you want to get protection for your children, the place where you really need to get it is since there's a pending proceeding, you need to go there. And wasn't there, I mean, you had the Superior Court judge in this case, too, Judge Garrett, saying this is an end run around the modification proceeding. That can't be allowed. Clearly the message is go to Snohomish County, take care of it there. You can answer.
Okay. I think it's valid and important here that the request for renewal of a DVPO was also denied, because the limited protection, meaning less than 1 year protection that was included in that order, there were many ways in which the children could have gotten additional protection. And based upon the merits, based upon the evidence provided to the court limited the protection to the, this shorter order and limited to only the one child that was included in this, this one isolated incident. Juarez did warn and provide a distinction in that the basis cannot be because there's other remedies, and the statute specifically prohibits against that. But that was not the reasoning of the court in this case.
Thank you.
Address Stewart again briefly. I think the danger with interpreting the Domestic Violence Prevention Act, like the commissioner did, is that what happens if a child is unable to communicate fear? What happens if a child's in a room next door when violence is happening in the home? The parent is, or the person petitioning is going to have to prove that that child's in fear. Well,
there has to be evidence. There isn't a presumption. The question in my mind is, was there evidence here? Are we reviewing it to see if there's enough evidence, or is this a case that the commissioner didn't even look at that issue with respect to the children? But I think Stewart recognizes there clearly was evidence to support a finding that the children were placed in fear.
Stewart did state that, but Stewart also talked about the reason to include children in orders in general. There's nothing within the DVPA that says you must prove for each individual that you want to add in to protect. If we were to do that, then if the parties have several children, is the court going to go through each and every single one of the children to make sure?
Well, remember that it's a protection from the person so that they don't inflict acts of domestic violence against the victim. So you're getting an order to protect the victim. The children were determined in the research and in Stewart recognized that they can be harmed without being struck, but you still demonstrate harm before you protect.
Well, the children can also be harmed even if they're not afraid. If the children are in a room next door, for example, and there's violence happening in the home, we also know that the violence may very well end up affecting those kids who are asleep in the other room. So I don't know that Stewart says that you need to look at each child to make sure that they're already in some sort of harm. The DVPA presumes that harm has already happened, that the children are going to be in harm, and that's why they should be included.
We may not agree on that statement.
I guess we don't. And with respect to Mr. I see that my time is basically up. Thank you.
That concludes the morning.